here's what I want you to do. I'm going to ask you to go ahead with me and turn into your Bibles if you have them. Listen, if you don't have a Bible, you just listen in. If you think, I have no idea what I've even gotten on here, would you leave it for just a few minutes? Because I think you're going to get what we're talking about. But if you do have access to one, we're going to the Gospel of Luke chapter 4. I'm just about to pray with you. I've got to tell you something. We've been just praising God in here before you joined us. And I just love music so much. And I don't know what your background is like. And I don't know, you may be really new to Jesus, but I am a demonstrative person, perhaps you can tell. And so during praise and worship, there's just no telling how high my hands might go. And I really wasn't raised that way when I was growing up. And even as a young woman, I'd never even walked in a church where they raised their hands. But something happened when God began bringing me a little bit of freedom. It sort of hit my ankles, and then it sort of hit my knees, and then it kind of just kept going until my arm just flew up. And I do like pick the place. I mean, is it appropriate in that place or not? But I just had to tell you, here recently, a couple of weeks ago at church, I was just in the throes of prayer, and I thought, oh, someone did not put on their deodorant. And I looked around me like, you know, there were really no good people for it to be, because I was surrounded by my family and people I love very much. And I thought, girls. And then I thought, I think it's me. I think it's me. And I thought, for the life of me, you know, I mean, I'd showered. I was ready to go. But I thought, you know, again, I was kind of in the throes of it. I thought, I think I forgot my deodorant. And then, you know how there's all manner of way you try to check. And there wasn't any great way to do it. So for the rest of the service, I just kept my arms just like this. And, you know, I am a hugger. I am really a hugger. And after the service, I just went to people and, come here, get in my arms right now. Right now. Right now. It was just the wildest morning. And I thought to myself, you know, every now and then we're just going like, something smells, and I don't know what it is. And every now and then, maybe the best thing we could figure out is, it is me. If something is really stinking in your life right now, and you keep thinking it's somebody else in your house, somebody near you, it's somebody at church, you might know what I'm talking about, it's somebody that works at the school with you, it's somebody really stinks around here, and then you figure out, you know what, it may be me. And there's going to be something we can do about that. If life really stinks for you right now, I'm just going to tell you, you're going to want to stick around, because we have got some kind of series in front of us for the next couple of weeks. You guys stand. I want to pray with you. And let me tell you why it's so important that we pray, in case you are new, and I so hope you are. Listen, we're here because we believe God is doing something with us. We believe He's among us. And I believe even right now, He's right there in that place with you. We know He's present everywhere. But I am asking that He would somehow make Himself known to you, that He would just somehow manifest the thickness of His presence. I've never seen Him with my bare eyes before. He's never just appeared to me, but I pray somehow you would know that He has come for you, because He loves you so much and wants to speak a word into your life. So here's what we want Him to do. There's nothing, I'd give you anything I have, but there's nothing I can give you that would stick. But there's everything God could give us that would be completely life transforming. That's what we're praying for. Father, we do praise You with all of our hearts. And God, I just want to thank You in advance, because I am thrilled to be part of this series. Father, I am so thankful for the very real power that You are willing to demonstrate in the lives and in the hearts and in the minds of people, Father, no matter what kind of condition we're in. Lord, I pray that You would just freeze somebody on the other side of that screen. If she or if he has just been through so much and done so much and gone so far, he can't imagine what You would want to do with him. God, You love us so much, and You have sought us out, and God, You want to set us free. And God, please come. And I pray without hindrance, you would be freed up to work in us in such a way that we never get over it. God, God, do it. Do it, Lord. Do it. Bind everything about me that is fleshly and selfish, and let your spirit be released in this place, God. How I thank you for pulling my life out of the deepest pit, Father. I joyfully credit you with every good thing in me. Lord, whatever I have to offer, it is truly your grace and your power. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I want to read with you starting at verse 14, Luke 4, verse 14. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and a report about him went out through all the surrounding country, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. I want you to notice something with me, that he returned in power from what? If you will look right above this portion of scripture, you will see that he has just been with the enemy tempting him over and over again in the wilderness without food, being tempted of the devil in every conceivable way that the enemy could position his attack around him. And he comes out of that time of intense temptation in the strength and power of the Holy Spirit. Listen, you know what? We wouldn't have to go any further than that to have a lesson, because somebody needs to know that you may have been through the worst temptation of your life. You may have just gone through a season of time when you did the unthinkable. There is just nothing like, if you live to be my age, if you live to be the age of some of us in this room, I can just tell you that if you're younger, take it from us. Do not make a list of things that you will promise and declare you will never do, because let me tell you, before your life is over, you probably will have done them, because we're all capable of anything. Does anybody hear what I'm saying to them today? And to know that when we honestly kid ourselves into thinking those kinds of people do that, and my kind of person does this, we are sitting ready for a fall. Take heed, lest when you think you stand, you fall. And so if you're coming out of a terrible time of temptation, let me tell you, you can have the Spirit of God fall on you in this season like you have never known it in your life. It says then in verse 16, and he, being Jesus, came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as was his custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him, and he unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written. Just let me freeze it right there for a moment. So there was always someone designated that would read a portion of scripture, and they would stand to do it. There would have been blessings said. There would have been a service, portions of a service by now, not altogether different than some of our church services, especially if we have some liturgy in our services. They would have gone by a certain kind of order. It would have come time to hear a reading of the word, standing on the feet, and then to sit down. Once the teacher sat down, he would expound on that particular verse that he had read. So keeping that in mind, he is given the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. I want you to just picture this, because this is God in flesh. This is the very Son of God. If you have seen the Son, he said, you've seen the Father. I mean, the very image, the fullness of the Godhead dwelling bodily, the book of Colossians says. So here he is, and imagine this finger just going across that scroll till he gets right to the place where it is Isaiah chapter 61, where God has ordained that the prophet Isaiah would receive a word, of this prophetic word about the job description of the very Son of God himself. So all these centuries have gone by waiting. That clock has just been ticking like this for the time that this would be fulfilled. Now, I want you to picture with me. Imagine, we don't see any of this on the page, but I just want you to imagine what the heavenlies would have been like, packed with 10,000s and 10,000s of angels. No telling what demonic principalities are in the air all gathered over Nazareth because something huge is about to happen. The time has come. He walks into the town where he was raised. He unrolls the scroll of Isaiah, points straight to it, and this is what he says. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Now, I want you to see there are so many important words in that portion, but I don't want you to miss the word me, because he is talking about himself. And it says in verse 20, this is so dramatic. Please, please go into the drama with me, because this is hometown boy here. He's back home, but he's come back home not hiding the unction that is upon him. In other words, now he's coming back. They might as well get ready because the power of the living God now is not only in him, but now it is all over him. And he is coming back with part of it, just part of his glory. If you just go here with me a moment, just like unzipped in power. Anybody see what I'm talking about? So, I mean, like there would have been a before and an after. Sinless all the way along. But he comes out of that temptation. He's ready. There's a part of his ministry now that is ready to launch, and he comes back with power. And I mean, they're just slack-jawed as he reads it because he's got such an anointing on him doing it. Rolls it up, gives it back to the attendant. I have to wonder, does he just kind of slap in the palm of his hand? Gives it back to the attendant, and he sits down. I mean, sits. How? I'm sorry, y'all, but how in the world he kept from cracking the earth? This is God wrapped in flesh, reading his own word, and then he's just going to sit down. I mean, just like, I don't know what's happening with y'all, but I'm having me some revival up here. And it says, hands it back to the attendant, and he sat down, and the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, this is it right here, this is it. Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has reported for duty, and the ministry has begun, and the power is upon him. And they will either turn from him over that power, or they will turn toward him over that power. But one thing is for certain, they saw that power. And he said, you need to know, this was written about me, and this has been fulfilled in your very presence. That's what he had to say. That was his commentary on Isaiah 61, 1 through 3, the divine job description of the Holy Son of God sent to earth. And he proclaims it, and it is so. I want you to see some words in Galatians chapter 5. Would you turn with me there? Through our series, it's not very often I just camp right on one verse and just keep saying it over and over and over again, but I am going to do it in this series because I am hoping by the time somebody's even walking out the door today, by the time you've been around for a few minutes, you would be able to say this thing from memory. Because if we don't get this thing down in the marrow of our bones and understand what has happened for us and what has happened to us in Christ, then you and I can just stay, live our entire lives captive to a vicious enemy, having absolutely no idea what we were capable of doing and who we were capable of being. That has got to come to an end. The reason why I want you to see this so beautifully in Galatians 5:1 is that Galatians was one of the very first New Testament books that was written. It was written as early probably as 1 Thessalonians. We're not sure. Scholars are not sure. It's not me. Scholars are not sure which one of them came first. Probably 1 Thessalonians and Galatians soon after that. So it's very early in the New Testament church. church. But the inspired word is coming. The breath of God on the sacred page in our New Testament is coming down from heaven onto the scroll. And we see that this now is this side of the cross of Christ and his resurrection and his ascension. And I want you to hear these words in verse 1 of Galatians 5. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. I love that. I find it convenient that it sort of rhymes. I love how it says in, I believe it's the NIV that puts it this way. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. It is for freedom that he has set us free. Therefore, do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. I want somebody to get a word here today, because what he is pressing into us is, after all he has done, Jesus did not go to the cross, overcome the grave, ascend into the heavenlies, and have a seat at the right hand of the Father, where he lives to ever make intercession for us and awaits the signal for him to come back for his bride and come back and restore this earth. He did not do all of that so that you and I could sit in a bunch of bondage and be in a bunch of defeat. It's just not what he did. He did not do it for that reason. And when we think, well, you know, but he understands. This is not about him understanding. This is about him going, listen, I paid for your freedom. This is not how I meant for you to live. Of course I love you like this. But I am telling you, I did more than this for you. And there's nothing, what happens to us is that we get in our heads that based on our experience or based on the experiences of the people we know, we have decided that really is Christian philosophy and not reality. And I am begging you through this series, I am begging you back to the page of Scripture. It is a statement of fact. You and I have been set free to be free. We have not been set free to be in bondage. There is no addiction. There is absolutely no area of defeat that can take authority over you if you are in Christ. It cannot presume it. It must be allowed to and not stopped, but it cannot presume it. You do not have the one area of bondage Christ Jesus cannot set you free from, neither do I. And the reason why this is a precious subject to me is because I lived in so much bondage for so long, and I could not get out of the pattern. Does anybody know what I'm saying to them? I mean, I kept going back in to the same kind of ditch, or maybe it would be a new ditch this time, but sooner or later, I would cycle right back into a hole. And I would just repent, and I meant it. God, I'm so sorry. I don't know why I'm doing this. I don't even know what I'm doing. I would just be sorrowful. And I just like pick me up, pull me out, and it wouldn't be very long until I'd be right back in that same kind of place. I did not understand the power of his word or the power of his indwelling spirit that he gives to believers. We are going to camp on that through this series. I want to say this to you. You and I are going to be talking a lot about freedom. And the big question on the table is, it even attainable in this life, in these jars of clay? Because that this is the big one. Because I'm telling you, we're basing it on what we see out in our lives and in our experience rather than what is on the page. Because we'll look around us and go, you know, no, that is not possible. I know too many people that are in too much bondage. The Word of God, the living Word of God, makes us an assurance that we have been set free to be free. Is it attainable in this life? Is it just a philosophy, or is this our reality? So here's what I wanted to do as I was preparing for you. I decided to do a little shout out on social media so that I could wrap some skin around some examples. And I just asked people a couple of questions. Basically, they were these. From what has Jesus set you free? And how long have you been living in victory? The reason why I asked the second question is because I wanted it to show a pattern of how long, not just for 10 minutes and not just for 10 days, but I am telling you that Jesus Christ and the power of His cross is fully capable of keeping you free for the rest of your days. Now, make no mistake, day one is extremely important. And we cannot, somebody was telling me on Twitter, she said, I'm only at 2 years. And I said, listen to me, you cannot get to 20 years if you do not get to 2 years. You cannot get to 2 years unless you went to 2 months. You can't get to 2 months without 2 weeks, and you can't get to 2 weeks without 2 days. Anybody get what I'm saying to them? It's got to start. And my prayer is, somebody, this is your day. That today this is fulfilled in your hearing. That today this work begins. So here's what I want you to hear. I am going to read you. I took them straight down off of the responses. I want you to hear the kinds of things people tell me. So I'm going to tell you things that they were set free from, and then I'm going to tell you how long they have been free. You'll see how it varies. Listen to this. Alcohol and heroin since February 7th, 2012. The reason why I start with that one is because, first of all, I mean, does it get harder or more addictive than alcohol and heroin? And the other reason I call it out to you is because she knew the exact date. Now, what is today? I'm asking you on the other side of the screen. I just want you to think for a moment whether you have to look at your phone and see what the date is, whether you look over at your calendar, what you may do. But I wonder, what if this was your day? What if in this year, in this month, and on this day, what if this was your day? What if you still remember this day in 10 solid years? Because that was the day it began for me. That's what I'm praying. Miracles, miracles. So every one of these I'm about to read you, I want to make sure you know this. Every one of these liberties are attributed by these people straight to Jesus Christ. It doesn't mean that he did not use a host of things he might have used. They didn't get specific in it. He might have used a particular Celebrate Recovery group, or he might have used a Bible study group. I believe there are always people that come around people to be the most victorious for the longest length of time. I believe that with all my heart. We're going to talk about that later. But I do want you to know that they're not attributing this that I am a Christian and I've been set free from so-and-so. No, every one of these are saying specifically, Jesus Christ set me free from, and for that woman, alcohol and heroin since February 7th, 2012. 10-year drug addiction, this woman's been free for 25 years. Traumatic memories, free for 2 years. Anger toward dad, 13 years. Pride, 14 years. Depression, 11 years. I heard depression over and over and over and over. Shame, 10 years. Insecurity, 7 years. Entitlement, 7 years. Clubbing. Now, I love that one because I had to look at it twice because I didn't know whether it meant clubbing her husband. I wasn't sure what kind of clubbing it might have been, but indeed it was night clubbing and not husband clubbing. I feel like night clubbing is better than husband clubbing. You men, I think, would especially agree that that would be better, but I loved it because she has been free from clubbing. It delighted me to no end. I had to write her back right away. She has been free from clubbing for 18 years. Now, the reason why that is a big deal is because she said, because I also asked him, I just don't have time to get into it, and we're going to get into some of those things in the scriptures anyway. I asked him, the third question was, what would you say made that try different? What was it that made that one work? Because many, many people, they might have a list of times, I tried it this time, this time, this time. This stuck. Why? So it was so interesting to hear. You know what she told me? She told me that she found a church. She always partied on Friday nights. She always partied on the weekends. She found a church that had a Friday night service that she said, let me tell you something. They partied harder in Jesus than we ever thought about partying at a club. And she said, I am telling you, she said, I'm still doing it. She said, I found my group. I found a group of people that are so exciting on a Friday night. We just get all excited. excited about Jesus. And some of you were just going, I can't picture that. Well, you cannot imagine what Jesus can have you doing. You just cannot imagine what beautiful places and wonderful places and even hilarious places this could go. So guilt, 4 years free. Aftermath of sexual abuse, free 10 years. Cigarettes since 1997. Another one, I love this one. Another one, cigarettes, almost 7 months. My friends tell me, now I meant to smoke. I forgot to ever really do it, but I intended to. And the reason why, I just ran out of time, and then I thought, I never really got where I smoked, and I meant to, because I'm sorry if that seems odd to you, but all my people did, and they made it look so good. I mean, it was just the way they talk to me, they draw it, and well, they could talk without ever blowing it out. And then, like, as if to make a point at the end, go, and it was just, that is fabulous. I mean, my people just would just sit at the table. Everybody would drink coffee. Everybody smoked cigarettes. And I just always thought, well, I'm going to drink coffee and I'm going to smoke cigarettes. And I can tell you just the way my mom drove, just like this. She was constantly doing peace to somebody. But it was because she had a cigarette right here between her fingers. But my friends tell me that did remember to smoke. My friends tell me that it is one of the hardest things they have ever given up in their lives. I mean, that is something else. And let me tell you something. Don't get any, if you're stuck, maybe you, right at this moment, you're watching the program and you're just like, you know, drawing on a cigarette. And I want to tell you something. Don't you dare feel condemned. Don't you dare. Are you looking at me? Because I mean for you to be looking at me right now. Because I need you to know I've done a whole lot worse than smoke cigarettes. A whole lot worse. I have been addicted to much worse than that. So I need you to hear that and you to stick with us here. Anger, 16 years free. Unforgiveness, 7 years free. Meth, 8 years, and it's a monster. I love that she said, my husband and I got saved and set free together. Now, I hear different stories about this kind of thing. God does things different ways. I always think maybe it's because he's after this point with one and this point with another, that he's after something that he wants that child to see, whether or not they are set free in a flash in just a moment or whether or not it is a length of time. For me, I walked it out for a while because the Lord was teaching me how to rethink all over again. He wanted me to come to love my healer more than I even appreciated my healing. He's what I needed. My mind was what was so tormented. And so, you know, he didn't in his way, he didn't just in a flash heal me. He taught me how to walk with him and how to depend on him in the moment. And we're going to get into some of that in the next part of our series. He had a different way with me. For these two right here, this couple were saved and set free. And I mean, they were done. They were done. Do I believe that he can do that? Oh, yes. Oh, absolutely. I just think it's all about whether or not Jesus is after showing to that child his supremacy or his sufficiency. If he just wants to show his supremacy, it'll be like, boom, it's done. Like, we're just slack-jawed. People around him are so floored over the testimony. We knew these people. They could hardly even function. And look at them now. Sufficiency. I got to learn to live off of Jesus. I've got to learn what this is like to get up and like learn how to walk the thing out and develop a relationship and not just somehow try to be a good girl. That's the trap I was in. Just like it was all about, like, I just have to be a good girl. I have to be a good girl. I don't know why I'm such a bad girl. I have to be a good girl. I have to be a good girl. No, you know what Jesus want? What I want is for you to know me and love me. And you watch what happens when you come to know me and love me. Witchcraft, free for 4 years. A 7-year-long affair. It ended 6.5 years ago, and she said her marriage has been completely restored and, in her own words, is amazing. Bulimia, 2 years free. Legalism, 3 years. Poor self-esteem, 2 years. Paralyzing fear of losing loved ones, 10 years. Trying to please everyone, 13 years. Chronic overeating, 15 years. Listen, I got to tell y'all something. I threw this one back out on social media because I told everybody out there, I said, y'all cannot believe the stretch of things you mentioned. I cannot think of anything you left out. And all of a sudden, I was looking at my list and I thought, yes, I can. I don't see being set free from chronic binging. And so I pitched it back out there and got them to respond. I cannot tell you how many of them said it tendered my heart so much. I'm still working on that. I still need to get a lot of victory on that. I want to tell you one reason why that's such a big one. When it comes to meth, even when it comes to, okay, let's say a cigarette, when it comes to a drink, if you've got a substance addiction, these are things, pornography, these are things we can shut off and quit. You can't quit eating. There's a name for that if you do. It's a stronghold, too. So that's why, just because I don't want somebody to get it all over them and think, I don't know why I can't, because we still have to eat. So that's one we still have to figure out. How do I manage this in this kind of stronghold? Victim mentality, free for 20 years. Fear of singleness, 4 years. I want one of you to ask me, does that mean she got married? Because that would not be freedom from a stronghold. I mean, didn't you want to know, really? If I'd have given you time, you'd have wanted to know. You know what? But no, I loved it that she then said, I mean, I want her to marry if she wants to marry. But I love that she said, I'm a single mother of 2 daughters. I love that. Under the control of money, 8 months. Credit card debt, 2 years free. Performance, 16 months free. Fear, over and over and over and over again. I couldn't even count them. Bitterness, over and over. Paranoia was a big one. Pornography. So I just want to ask you a question, because I want you guys to just look in this beautiful setting with us at these beautiful and wonderful people, and I want to ask them a question. Any of you that are sitting right here where I can see you, do you recognize any stronghold on this list? If you have ever dealt with a single one of those, could I just see your hand, please? And, you know, I really, really want you to see that, because, you see, it's all of us. And what the enemy does, somebody needs to know this, what the enemy loves is to make you feel stupid and alone. And you are the only one in the big mess you are in. And I want to promise you, you are most certainly not such as is common to man. Everybody has dealt with strongholds. Everybody. And for everyone in Christ, he says, it is for freedom that I have set you free. When we're talking about what freedom is, here's what we know it cannot be. It cannot be sinlessness, because it can't be perfection. How do I know that? Because you know what? We are not going to be perfect until we see Jesus Christ face to face. And that for those of us who have trusted Him as Savior. So we're going to be dealing, we're going to live in these bodies where we're under temptation and where we are going to have thoughts that we wish we didn't. We're going to think somebody's a brat. We're going to think we wish we did not have to work with somebody, how we can hardly stand to look at them. We're going to have all manner of things. We're just going to have temptations for the rest of our lives, and we're going to fall to some of those temptations. We certainly are. So we know freedom cannot be sinless. It cannot be a state of perfection. We know it cannot be. So freedom is not having no sin. It's having no, everybody staying with me, no dominating sin. No dominating sin. No area of dominating sin. It's what I'll call to you, because this is helpful to me. I don't know why, but this is how I think of it. No dominion sin. No sin taking dominion. A sin ruling over you or a sin ruling over me. That's freedom for us. It's not sinless. It means that I have no dominating, no area of dominating sin. And I'm not letting a sin rule over me, or I'm not being mastered by it because it's no longer my master. And I am the overcomer. I'm not meant to be overcome and enslaved by something. Is anybody getting that with me? Every addiction is a master. That's what happened the moment it became an addiction. That very slide is where it took dominion. Anything that you can't just like go, no, thanks. That you don't have that like inner yearning for, that you're not drawn toward. When we're drawn toward, it's got mastery over us. That's dominion. Any bad habit has dominion because we feel like we can't break it. We feel like we just keep giving way to it. Anybody know what I'm talking about when you just feel like you keep giving way to something? You know, you may even think you have a love-hate relationship with it. You love it, you hate it. But it's just like constant, this mastery. That's what slavery is. It's an area of domination. Just so somebody doesn't misunderstand, because I thought every now and then I wonder if it would be easy to come up with an excuse based on what they heard a teacher say. Listen, if somebody's thinking, well, if it doesn't master me, I mean, if it's just like one time, if I commit adultery every now and then, no, listen, by the time that full-fledged adultery is coming, there has been a domino. There's already been a dominion. Anybody know what I'm talking about? By the time a murder, someone takes someone else's life on purpose, there has been a stronghold of hatred or bitterness or greed or vengeance. But there's already a stronghold there. So I don't want us to get the idea that I couldn't do it every once. No, whatever is having dominion over us, anything that rules over us, you are meant to live, and I am meant to live without anything ruling over me but Jesus Christ who sets me free. Amen. That's what this is about. That's what this is about. And that's the kind of freedom we're going to see. So here's what I want you to write down. Remember what we defined as slavery for our purposes biblically, being mastered by anything or anyone besides the one who sets us free. So we have a shorter definition of freedom. Let's try this. Freedom. No sin or deceit having dominion over me. No sin or deceit having dominion over me. Deceit is going to turn out to be very, very important in the next part of our series. Let me just tell you now, and I'll remind you of it again, that deceit, deception is always the glue that holds every stronghold together. Every single time. You can take that to the bank. Somebody tell me the definition of freedom. No sin or deceit having dominion over me. Reason why deceit is very important here, because not every single area where we are deceived is necessarily an area we're in sin. Does that make sense to someone? If I've been battered and told all my life how worthless I am, then I am under a stronghold of deception that I have no value. But it was not because I just set out to be rebellious to God about believing something different than what he said over me. I wouldn't have even known any different. Does that make sense? So that deceit, we don't want any area of sin or deceit having dominion over us. What if I gave you an acronym of FREE, F-R-E-E? What if I gave you something for the F, something for the R, something for the E, and something for the next E, where you could remember those four words and think, is this me? Is this me? So that's my attempt over the next couple of minutes. And it begins with what letter? Free. It begins with F. And I'm going to go ahead and give you the four words because it may be that somebody's tuning in right now, but they will not be tuning in as we go through some of them. I hope you will, but I want to give them all four to you, and then I'm going to take them apart and explain them. Free. The F is full. The R is relentless. I do love that word. E, I'm very anxious to explain it to you because it won't make sense at first. Electric. And the second E is effective. I hope to prove to you that you would be able to go down that little checklist once you see what they identify. Am I living in freedom? Is there any area of deceit or sin, particularly deceit? Because some areas of sin, I'm going to know that going into it, or I'm going to know that coming out of it. Deceit, I may not know that. So I'm going to do my checklist of F-R-E-E, because then I can tell if those are not activated in my life, okay, something is up, and I want to identify where the deception is. Does that make sense? Everybody. So the F is going to start right here with full, F-U-L-L, full. You know, I really tried to use a different word. I even went into the dictionary and looked all through the words that began with F because I was going to go with filled. I was going to go with fulfilled. I kept trying to make it a more exciting word than just full because that does not do anything for me. But let me tell you this. There is nothing that will get you in bigger trouble than emptiness. Nothing. That's why it's got to start with full, because nothing will set you up for trouble like emptiness. Nothing. I want somebody to remember with me. If you're new to the Word of God, let me just tell you a little story. It's in John chapter 4. When Jesus meets a woman at the well, the Samaritan woman, and she's come with her empty pitcher to draw some water. And he begins a conversation with her, and he asks her to call her husband, and she says, well, I don't have a husband. And he says, well, you're right in saying that you don't, because the thing of it is you've been married to 5 different men, and the man that you're with right now, you are not married to. Well, you talk about a shocker. Now, let me just say something to you. Even in our culture today, 5 husbands is a lot of husbands. Now, don't get any condemnation on you. I'm just saying that is a lot of men. That's a lot of men. That's going through a lot of marriages right there. And what's going wrong here? We don't know. We don't know. But I'm going to tell you, there is no accident that the visual that is given with this woman is an empty jar. It is so interesting that what she's bringing there is what she is. It's what she can, anytime, listen, this is where it lands with you. Anytime you can't get enough of anything, you are missing something important. Our drive that we cannot, whether it is sex, whether it is pornography, which would be self-gratification normally, or whether it would be food, or whether it would be substance, whether it would be drink, whether it would even be work, whatever, some kind of activity, whatever it might be, anytime we are just driven where we cannot get enough, there is something, it's an indicator that there is something missing, something that we do not have enough of. And it's very rarely the thing that we're putting with it. That's what we're seeing on the page of Scripture. Now, listen, I love where 2 Corinthians 9:8 says these words. 2 Corinthians 9:8. And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. And this, every one of those words for abounding or abundant is the same wording that is used in John. It comes from the same word that is used in John 10:10, where Christ says that he came to give life and to give it in abundance, to give it more abundantly. I believe it's the NIV. Let me check that. And I think that I'm right about that. That says, yes, that says in John 10:10, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they might have life and have it to the full. Have it to the full. I love the fact that one of the synonyms, when I looked it up in the dictionary, one of the synonyms for abundant or full was copious. I loved it. Just say the word. Copious. I love the P sound in it. Don't you say it again. I mean, it's very satisfying because it's got that good clearing of the throat and the C, and then it's got that good P going. And if you really said it with some action, you probably spit on the person in front of you. That's when you try it one more time. Copious. Like, you're not just supposed to be getting by. And your life is certainly not supposed to be empty. It's meant to be full. Like when you get to the end of it, like if you had 5 minutes that you were coherent before you went to Jesus, you ought to be able to look up at him and look around at your family and go, let me tell you something. I have lived one full life. There's nothing in Scripture that says we will always be happy. Nothing in Scripture indicates that it will always, always go our way. But one thing we can absolutely know is he said, I came to give you a life and I came to give you a lot of it, a lot of it. I raised 2 girls. They are young adults now, but moms, as long as we live, we remember the things that our children said to us when they were little. And I can remember so well my youngest daughter when she was about 3 years old and maybe even 2. I can still see exactly the way she would look at me. She would cup her little palm like this and bring it up to me, and she would want a treat of some kind. And before she even knew what it was, us, she would say, "Can I have a bunch of it?" Just, and she'd hold her little hand so she'd have a lot of room. Just whether she didn't care if it was sweet tarts, if it was cookies, if it was Red Hots, it didn't matter. But could she just have what? A bunch of it. He says this, I can tell you this, you can have a bunch of it. Oh, yeah, you can. Oh, yeah, you can. You will know when you lay it down, girlfriend and guy friend, you will know you lived. You lived. And see, you may, like, we may, like, not feel like that's a very exciting word, full. But really, it's everything. Right. It was a lot. I mean, it was like, whew. I mean, Lord, I got to say, we did that thing. Amen? I'm going to lay this body down worn out. Because you and me, we did that thing. We did that thing. Listen, you don't have to be married for your life to be full. You don't have to be rich for your life to be full. You don't have to have children for your life to be full. All you have to do is be fully engaged with Jesus Christ for your life to be full. Fully engaged with Jesus Christ for your life to be full. Listen, your life, you may go, I want children. You know what? I pray that God is going to give you that. I pray that He will. But I'm going to tell you out there's children to love. There are nurseries at churches that need help in the worst way. There are all sorts of children that need tutoring and mentoring at school. You can have tons of children in your life without giving birth to a single one of them. And in some ways, fellow mothers, that's not a bad idea. I've never been through anything worse than childbirth. Maybe you have, but I'm telling you, by the time I went in for my second birth, I was like wearing a shirt that said, "Say yes to drugs." Anybody know what I'm saying? I mean, this is, you know, I just thought to myself, I don't have time to talk to you about this. I'm just going to throw it out to you. Sometimes we don't have a full life because we won't be inconvenienced enough. You know, we don't have any friends because we'd have to do something with them. God forbid we might have to do something for them, you know? So let's stay on Facebook because they're not stopping by. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And we have convenienced our way out of full lives. Sometimes we don't have a full life because we won't be inconvenienced enough. Yes. You know, we don't have any friends because we'd have to do something with them. God forbid we might have to do something for them, you know? Let's stay on Facebook because they're not stopping by. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And we have convenienced our way out of full lives. That was F, and that was for the word what? Oh. All right, then what do we got next? All right, the word relentless. If you're tuning in with us just in the last couple of minutes, we are building an acrostic of the word free because we're trying to figure out how would I know if I'm living in freedom or not? Because freedom is going to be no sin or deceit having dominion over me, but I need a little help. What does that look like? Well, F starts for full, R for relentless. And here, this one's easy to tell you. It means you just won't quit. Anybody know what I'm talking about? It means you just keep getting up. And I've just got to draw your attention. There is this awesome part in Acts chapter 14. I'm just going to read it to you because Paul is the perfect example. Acts 14, 19 and 20. Just listen to this. But Jews came from Antioch and Iconium, and having persuaded the crowds, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing that he was dead. Now, because they dragged the dead out of the city. So, I mean, they stoned him to death, they thought. And so they just drag his body out of the city. They lay it there. Well, it says, when the disciples gathered about him, he rose up and entered the city. And on the next day, he went on with Barnabas to Derbe. What in heaven's holy name has happened there? I mean, what in the world? Like, they stone him to death, they thought. He's laying there. The believers come, they all gather around. Next thing we know, I mean, just picture this, because he's just like laying there like dead, looking dead. And then suddenly he just starts twitching and opening his eyes. And maybe he said to him, "What are y'all looking at?" And up he gets. Who does that? But he was relentless. He was relentless. He was unstoppable. It means, listen, this is how you know, because you know you're in a stronghold. You know you are not free if the enemy has talked you into sitting down, shrinking back, stepping back in your faith. You've quit serving anybody because somebody, you've got an offense at somebody, and you've just let an obstacle sit you down, and you've shut up. All of those things are indicators that something's up, that the enemy's been at work. Because let me tell you something. We know we're free when we face an obstacle. It may be hard. We may cry our eyes out. We may work up a sweat. We may scrape our knees. But when we face an obstacle, we climb over it. Yes. It means you're persistent. It means that the devil can knock you down, but he cannot keep you down. Can I hear from somebody in the house today? He cannot keep you down. He can shut your mouth, but he cannot keep it shut. You see, the devil has no keeping power. I need somebody to hear me say it today. The devil has no keeping power. If he kills you, he can't even keep you dead. Jesus will resurrect you from the dead and you'll be in glory with him. If that's the worst the enemy's got, he doesn't even have the ability to keep you dead if he killed you. If he killed you. That is relentless. Anybody know what that next word was? Okay, this is my favorite one. All right, we are building an acrostic of the word free. So far, we have got the word that begins with F. What is it?
Full.
It's full. The word R.
Relentless.
And then we've got our first E of the two, and the E is what?
Electric.
Now, I have chosen the word electric very much on purpose because I could have gone with energetic or empowered. Both of those would be absolutely true, but here's how I feel about it. I think those words have lost their edge in our English language. Anybody? I mean, like, if somebody just says, well, we're really empowered, because you can have, like, women's and men's empowerment gatherings all over the world that have nothing whatsoever to do with Jesus. I'm not knocking that. I mean, we can go if we want to. But I'm saying, well, even though it's the same word, even though it talks about the energy of the Holy Spirit at the very end of Colossians chapter 1, that we be energized by the Holy Spirit, even though it talks about power and being empowered over and over again, I'm just saying, I want for a moment to try to come up with a word that would sort of shock our systems in enough ways to realize we're talking about something different than what they're doing out there without Jesus. Can somebody go with me there? I want you to just think this through with me because I'm not sure that I have anything more important to bring to this series than what God really laid on my heart about this whole idea of power. We are meant to live powerful lives. I need someone to hear that. We are meant to live powerful lives, lives packed with divine power. I can give you verse after verse. 2 Corinthians 10:4, we have divine power to tear down strongholds. 2 Peter 1:3, his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. Ephesians 6:10, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. I want you to turn with me to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, and I want to show you something there. This is just huge. For a number of us, I'm hoping that many of you are brand new, but for a number of us, we are very, very familiar with the scripture that says in Ephesians chapter 3, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we could ask or think. Many of us know that part. We'll say it to one another. May he do more than you could ask or think. Lord, come and do more than you ask or think. But you know what? We hardly ever get to the rest of that verse. And it's so powerful. It's so powerful. Listen to what it says. It says, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we could ask or think, according to the power at work within us. Listen, I want somebody to get this. I want somebody to get this because this was such a revelation to me that it got hold of my heart and it's not let go yet. Listen carefully. There are so many things God wants to do. Hey, I believe God performs wonder after wonder. I still believe God performs miracles all over the place. God can do absolutely anything, but I promise you this side of the cross, the resurrection, and the ascension. The biggest works he wants to do, those things that are more than we could ever ask or imagine, he wants to do inside of humans like us. It's happening in you. There's nothing that testifies. People, if there was a creative miracle out there, do you know what people would do? They would come up with a scientific reason why it happened. Right. But something crazy happens when something is more than we could ask or think in you. In you. That it happens in a human. In a human. One thing for it to happen out there. But he will do more than you could ask or think. In you, in you. Is that huge to anybody? Yeah. Because that right there, that is a deal breaker. Here's what I've come to say to you. Do you know that according to 2 Timothy 3:5, that power is so important? It was meant to be such a demonstration of salvation and us being in Christ that 2 Timothy 3:5 literally talks about people who have the appearance of godliness but deny its power, and it says have nothing to do with them. Anybody getting that with me? That they're all sorts. I mean, I have all manner of, we're all manner of appearance of godliness, but there's no power. There's no, that's how much power was meant to be a mark of a believer. Listen, divine power is seldom imperceptible. I need somebody to stay with me here because have you ever tried, I know, have you ever tried a vitamin supplement? Anybody? Yeah. And gone, you know what? I think I feel a little better. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Maybe I do. Like start drinking a kind of smoothie or something, and you're thinking to yourself, huh, maybe I am. Maybe this is working. Maybe I am a little more energetic. That is not how divine power works. No. That's not how power made perfect in weakness goes. If all you're getting from Jesus is what you could get from your energy bar at your convenience store, something is wrong. If the power in our lives is what could be explained by our supplements, I need to know if anybody's getting a word with me. If it could be explained by our supplements, for crying out loud, maybe that's not it. Maybe that is not it. Here's what I've come to tell you. We are walking away from the throne too soon. Come on, somebody. Listen, I just experienced this week. I feel like it was exactly why the Lord let me experience it, so I would come and say it to you, because I've been praying so hard for this series. Lord, this material is important to me. I can't think of many things I'd want to testify more than the freedom of Christ. Lord, I am asking you. I don't want to go. Lord, I've got tons of notes on breaking free, tons of notes. I'm asking you that I would not have to go to those notes. I love those things. I can testify out of them. I believe those things, but I'm asking you, would you give me a fresh word for this series? You're fully capable of giving me a fresh word for this series. Well, I was getting a few, you know, little things. And I was trying to be thankful for them. Then I was all like, nuh-uh. And, you know, I was on a walk with him and I said, you know what, Lord? I've asked you for power. I've asked you for the anointing for this. And you know what? I'm like getting a 2. And your word says I can get a 10. Your word says I can. So what I'm doing, Lord, I was walking right on our, we live out in the woods. I was walking right, and I'm talking out loud. I don't know what my neighbors thought. But I'm going like, I want my other 8. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Now, I'm going to tell you something. Listen, do you know what? I did not feel like he was insulted. I felt like he thought, come on, girl, come on, come on. I'm looking for somebody to come back and say, wait a second, that didn't seem like divine power to me. That seemed like me on a supplement. That just seemed like me taking fiber. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? No, Lord, we're too easily satisfied. Listen, when that woman was pressing through the crowd when Jesus was going to get that little girl before she died, that little 12-year-old, and that woman's pressing through the crowd, and he stops and goes, whoa, who touched me? Because I perceive that power went out from me. Listen, that woman had grabbed that tassel of that robe. That woman home and had grabbed a lightning bolt is what I'm going to tell you. I don't mean that literally, but I'm just saying the reason why I want to use the word electric is because I want you to understand that compared to the energy and empowerment that the world could give us and that our workout could give us and that our supplements could give us and our smoothies could give us, this is electricity. This is like putting your finger into a light socket. That is the difference. That's what I've come to say. Okay. We got one more word and we close the series. Anybody remember what it was? Effective. Effective. We got four words going because we're building an acrostic of the word free so we can do a little checklist. Does my life have fullness? Am I pretty relentless? I mean, does he knock me down and I get back up? Because if he knocks me down, I'm talking about the enemy, and I don't get back up, somehow something's gluing me down and I've got a stronghold. And then we looked at the word electric. In other words, I've got some empowerment in me. You've got empowerment in you that comes from God himself. And lastly, effective. Listen, very basic definition of effective out of Merriam-Webster is producing a desired effect. Listen, your works are meant to work. Your giftedness is meant to be a gift to people. Listen, your faith is meant to move mountains. Your tree is meant to bear much fruit. You will know a tree by its fruit, not a tree by the sign that says tree. We cannot wear our fish on our shirt and think that he didn't say you will know them by their fish on their shirt. You will know them by how many crosses they have on their wall at home. That's not what he said. You will know a tree by its fruit. Your words were meant to bless. Full, relentless, electric, effective. That is not Christian philosophy. That is Christian reality. That is what Christ gave his life and overcame the grave to give us. Would you pray with me, please? Father, we want it. We're just coming back saying we want it. We want it. This is freedom, not sinlessness, not perfection, but it is very much, Lord, a full life. It very much means I may be knocked down and I may have the breath knocked out of me, but I am in Jesus' name and by the power of your Spirit going to get right back up. Lord, I am and they are meant to be empowered by divine power, mighty in you. And Lord, we are indeed meant to be effective. Would you activate this kind of freedom, not in our philosophy, in our reality, in your glorious and holy Son's name. Amen. Amen. Amen.